You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
It's your girl, your pal, your gal. Anyways, Destiny Brown. Y'all may know me from a little show called The Ken and Rye Show. You know, I'm Destiny, the producer on there, and I've loved doing it for so many years. Me and the We Talk Radio team, we were talking, and they were like, Destiny, you need your own show. We named the show Friday Night Hype with DB, and I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about hot topics, what's going on in the world, what's going on in pop culture, what's going on, you know, in our personal lives, you know, maybe be, you know, spilling a little bit of tea. The tea runneth over. Relationships, you know, boys, gals, the whole bit, you know, college, jobs, finding a big girl job, having a hot girl summer or a holy girl summer, you know, whatever you want to do. It's more of a, you know, a fresh vibe, very mature vibe. You know, I just turned 21. Friday Night Hype with me, your girl DB, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join me. We're going to have a great time. We in this thing.
Y'all, it is. I'm sorry if I hurt your eardrums. I'm sorry if I hurt your eardrums today. But I'm hype. I'm so excited. Welcome to my show, guys. This is crazy. Me and the We Talk Radio team, like I said in that intro, we have been talking about this for a while now. As y'all know, I'm the producer on the Ken and Rye Show. If y'all from Ken and Rye Show, what's up, what's up? Welcome. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited. This is Friday Night Hype with DB. You know, they call me Destiny on the show, or, you know, Death on the show. But I'm DB on my show. I'm DB on my show. It's a little bit more of a grown-up version of myself. But that's what most people call me in college, so that's why I went by DB. But, y'all, I'm excited. I'm so excited. Today, you know, it's the weekend, it's Friday, you know, you probably just got off work, you're probably so excited, I'm excited. We are going to have such a great time on the show. So, you know, I'm not going to spill too many beans. I'm not, you know, going to keep talking because y'all know I can ramble. Y'all know from the Ken and Rye Show, if you're from the Ken and Rye Show, if you've been staying with us for all this time, you're one of the OG listeners. Shout out to you. You know, go to WeTalkRadio.com and let me know if you're one of the OG listeners, you know, and if you're coming from the Ken and Rye Show or if you're coming from the Diamond Crew Kids Show. They had an amazing show today. Give them a round of applause. Shout out to the Diamond Crew Kids. We love you here at Friday Night Hype. We love you at WeTalk. We love you at WeTalk Radio. And we love you at the Ken and Rye Show. Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow with us. We have our special Juneteenth episode. It's Juneteenth, y'all. I know that's right. Y'all, shout out to all my lovely melanated folks. Shout out to y'all. Y'all rock. You are amazing. We love y'all here at the ReTalk Radio Show. You have an amazing Juneteenth. Shout out to all the dads out there. We love all of our dads, our father figures, the coaches, the uncles, the crazy cousins, the crazy uncles, the crazy nephews. We love them all. We love them all. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. But, yeah, y'all, I'm excited. Again, I'm sorry if I hurt your eardrums, if I'm talking too much and I'm talking too loud. I'm just excited. I don't know if y'all can hear my excitement. I don't know if y'all can hear it, but it's there. But, y'all, today is our Girl Dad episode. So, y'all are probably wondering, what is a girl dad? Well, we're going to go into these interviews, and I'm going to explain it. In the interview, our first interview is with Mr. T. Smiley. He is on the Cave Radio Show on We Talk Radio Network, and I got to interview him recently. I'm so excited that I got to, you know, interview him. He gave me, you know, just a little bit of insight about his life with his two amazing girls. It's so funny how all of my interviewers have two girls. That's so crazy. Isn't that crazy? That's bonkers to me. All of them have two girls. That was not on purpose. I just selected at random. I know I wanted to do one with some father figure close to me, and then I wanted to do two other ones. And no offense, hopefully the boy dads, no offense to y'all. If you got all boys, that's amazing. You know, I'm just a girl, and, you know, You know, the girl dads be holding it down. Shout out to all the girl dads out there. Round of applause for you. Y'all holding it down because, especially if they're in like that, what is it called? That, you know, teenager phase. They're making that transition from middle school to high school and maybe elementary school to middle school. You've been holding it down on Zoom. You've been, you know, maybe you're a single father. You've been holding it down. That's amazing. We just want to just give you your flowers and congratulate you for just being an awesome dad. Daughters, give your dad a hug. Sons, give your dad a hug. And unfortunately, if your father is not here with us and he's gone up to heaven, I'm praying that you still have an amazing Father's Day. And, you know, you if you have any father figures in your life, you know, just love on them, cherish them. But I'm definitely, let's pray and uplift and, you know, hold our, you know, our the daughters or the sons that have lost their dad on this Father's Day weekend, because I know, you know, this around this time it's really tough, you know, just celebrating the holiday. I totally get that. I unfortunately lost my grandfather, and, you know, I just, you know, I'm holding my aunt and, you know, my aunts and my uncles and my mom very close around this time. So, but y'all, let's get into the show, Smiley. But first, we got a song coming up. You know I love my girl Cardi B. So we going to play Be Careful with Cardi B, and then we going to get into this interview, y'all. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? I know I can't hear y'all, but are y'all ready? I'm ready. I hear I'm ready. All right, y'all, let's get into this song. Let's get into this interview, and I'll be right back. I love y'all. Friday Night Hype with DB. Let's get it.
Look, I wanna get married like the Curry, Steph and Aisha. But we more like Belly, Tommy and Keisha. Gave you TLC, you wanna creep and shit. Poured out my whole heart to a piece of shit. Man, I thought you would've learned your lesson about liking pictures, not returning texts. I guess it's fine, man, I get the message. You still stutter after certain questions. You keep in contact with certain exes. Do you though? Trust me, it's cool though. Said that you was working, but you out here chasing who knows. But you lies, chilling poolside. Two lies. I could've did what you did to me to you a few times. But if I did decide to slide, find somebody, let him hit, you would've been pissed. But that's not my MO, I'm not that type of person. And karma for you is gonna be who you end up with.
The only man, baby, I adore. I gave you everything, was mine, is yours. I want you to live your life, of course. But I hope you get what you're dying for. Be careful with me. Do you know what you're doing? Who's feeling that you're hurting and bruising? You won't gain the whole world, but is it worth the girl that you're losing? Be careful with me. Yeah, it's not a threat, it's a warning. Be careful with me. Yeah, my heart is like a package with a fragile label on it. Be careful with me. Before all of this, guess you acting now. Now you got an audience. Tell me where your mind is. Drop a pin. What's the coordinates? You might have a fortune, but you lose me, you still gonna be misfortunate. Tell me, this love got you this stuff in the head? You want some random stuff in your bed? She don't even know your middle name. Watch her, cause she might steal your chain. You don't want someone who love you instead? I guess not though. It's blame, disrespect. You nothing like the I met. Talk to me crazy and you quick to forget. You even got me tripping. You got me looking in the mirror different. Thinking I'm flawed because you inconsistent. Between a rock and a hard place, the mud and the dirt. It's gonna hurt me to hate you, but loving you's worse. It all stopped so abrupt, you started switching it up. Teach me to be like you, so I cannot give a f. Free to mess with someone else, I wish these feelings can melt. If you don't care about a thing except your damn self. You made me sick.
Baby, I adore. I gave you everything, was mine, is yours. I want you to live your life, of course. But I hope you get what you're dying for. Be careful with me. Do you know what you're doing? Who's feeling that you're hurting and bruising? You won't gain the whole world, but is it worth the good?
matters like a package with a fragile label on it. Be careful with me.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Hey, 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 everybody. This is your girl, your gal, your pal, DB. You may know me from a little show called The Ken and Rye Show. I'm the producer on that show. But guess what? Me and the We Talk Radio team were talking, and they were like, you know what, Destiny? You need your own show. So here it is. This is our first show with our special guest. We have three special guests. This is our first special guest, Mr. T. Smiley. Let's give him a round of applause. Woo, woo, woo.
What's
Thank
up?
You
What's
so
up?
Much, Mr. Chief Smiley, for being here. What's up? What's up? What's up? Today, it is our Father's Day episode. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, the father figures, the stepdads, the crazy dads, the chill dads, the cool dads, everybody out there, all the heavenly fathers. We just pray that you guys have an amazing, awesome Father's Day. And yeah, let's get this episode started. Are you ready? Are you ready, Mr. Chief Smiley?
I'm ready.
Ready
I'm
for
ready.
These questions?
I'm excited. Well, I'm excited to be here today.
Awesome. Yes. I'm excited. I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day and letting me interview you. I am very excited, like I said. So let's get this started.
Give a little introduction of yourself.
All right. My name is T. Smiley. I am the Director of Operations here on We Talk Radio Network. I also have a Saturday show called The Cave Radio Show. I am a professional drummer. I'm a minister of music at my uncle's church. I'm a mentor, a father of two beautiful daughters.
That's great. Love it.
I was reading an article about being a girl dad. I know you're a girl dad. And I'm so, you know, that's just so cool because you don't see a lot of people, you know, talking about being a girl dad. And it started in 2020. So Kobe Bryant, rest in peace. He had an interview with Ellie Duncan from the ESPN Sports Center, and he talked about, and Elle Duncan, he talked about, you know what, Mr. Bryant, how does it feel having all girls in your house? All girls. And I believe he has five girls. And he said, how does it feel being having all girls? Like, are you sad that, you know, you don't have a boy in your house, you know, so somebody to continue your legacy? And he said, absolutely not. Like, I have beautiful girls and I love being a girl dad. And I remember ever since then, I've seen pictures of celebrities and just other dads just shouting out being a girl dad, which I think is absolutely awesome because I've never heard of that term. But when, you know, Kobe Bryant started it, everybody started, you know, picking it up and it was just absolutely awesome. But how does it feel, Mr. T. Smiley, you know, you being a girl dad?
You know, it feels great. I mean, one thing I can say, I mean, just to be honest, like, you know, when I first, you know, found out I was going to be a dad and, you know, me being a man, you know, the first thing come to mind is, oh, I hope it's a boy. I hope it's a boy. But
right.
When I got found out it was a girl, I was even more excited, you know, just because of the simple fact that, you know, I have an older sister that has all girls. I remember saying this, when I have my first child, it's going to be a boy. I ain't trying to have all girls. That's all you. But, mm-hmm. You know, like I said, when I found out I was having my first girl, it was just amazing. And then the next time when I found out another girl, it was like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? So it taught me a lot. It slowed me down a lot, but I love it. I actually love it.
Right. That's absolutely awesome. That's absolutely awesome. So you said your first reaction, like what was when you found out you were going to have all girls, was your first reaction like, oh my God, we like, you know, maybe we can, you know, try again and have a boy. Like what was your first reaction? What was the first thing that came to your head?
Try again. I got to try again. That was my first reaction. I got to try again. I'm thankful that I had my daughter first, but I was like, man, I got to try again now. I got to get that boy. You know, Uncle's tease me, oh, man, you ain't a man yet until you get that boy. So I got to try.
Right. Yep, that's awesome. That's awesome. And so, you know, you have two amazing girls. What is your favorite personality trait about both of them? Or like, what's one thing that you notice? You're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I see that's in, you know, your sister, but that's not, you know, in your other sister. So.
Okay. So, the older girl, my oldest daughter, she, what I see in her is, you know, real sports, you know, she's very adventurous. She likes sports, you know, she'll get out there and sweat and play and run hard with the other kids, especially the boys, you know what I mean? So I see sports more in her than I do with my younger daughter. She's right now, she's my smart girly girl. I call her the girly girl because she's like the princess. She want to make sure everything is done right. You know, she want to make sure she's looking right. She want to make sure her hair is done. She want to make sure her clothes is right and all that. So, you know,
as
I see
she
this.
Should.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Yes.
I'm sure my oldest one is gonna get there, but yeah.
Awesome. Very clean. They so you saying they have like very opposite personalities, but they kind of, you know, just complement each other really good.
Yeah. They complement each other real good to it's time for them to share something, or it's time for them to, you know, my oldest daughter, she right now she's maturing, so she's wanting her own space more than being with her little sister, and the little sister doesn't understand, and they kind of go back and forth on that, like, you know, move out of my, you know, out of my space, or this and that.
Yep.
You know, I'm just trying to chill, you know what I'm saying? You come in messing with me, just leave me alone.
I'm the oldest daughter. So I totally get it. I totally know what you're coming from. It's like, hey, I love you, but I'm going to need you to back up. I really need my space right now.
Yep.
Exactly. So what is your favorite thing to do with them? Because the statistics show that, you know, dads hanging out with their daughters build such a great bond, and it helps them, you know, problem solve. It helps them overcome challenges, have more self-esteem, and, you know, feel a lot more secure in the world.
Well, I would say one thing that we've kind of grown close to, I mean, we always, you know, love to sit, you know, just sit up and watch movies, or, you know, just hang out, let them play with their toys, and they want me involved and stuff like that. But I think now that it's hot, you know, it's summertime,
right.
What we like to do now really is fly kites, or, you know, go walking and stuff like that, which is pretty cool because I get to experience them, you know, just opening up, talking to me, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, me actually listening to what they're saying and different ideas and stuff that they have right now. So it's amazing to sit there and listen to them, you know? So just spending that quality time with them pretty much is the favorite out of both, you know, myself and theirs. If you ask them what's your favorite thing to do, it's just being with daddy, because, you know, Once they with me, it don't matter what we do. You know what I'm saying? So
sweet. Yeah. I love that. And I know that, you know, you're probably, you know, despising the age where they're like, you know what, I don't want to be near my dad. I want to be with my friends. So what is one thing, you know, about, you know, that quality time that you just really soak up with them, no matter what y'all are doing, that you really just, you know, you just soak up that time with them? What is one thing that's like, you know what, this might not happen again, or you do it a lot because, you know, in the future that it might not happen again, like something that you guys always do?
It's crazy. I would say like the end of the day, you know, when we just sitting around watching TV and they just want to come get up on you or sit in your lap, you know, and all that. I would say that's something that I try to cherish now, because, you know, once they get a little older, they'll be like, daddy, you know, get back, you know, all that. So
right.
I want to try to keep that up as much as possible. You know, it's let's just say it's not as easy as it was when you know, growing up, they can do that every day, all day. Mm-hmm. But when different things change and stuff happens, you know what I'm saying? When you get them, it's like, okay, I can still do that. You know what I'm saying? It means more because it's not an everyday thing now. So, yeah.
Right. And they will always love their daddy. They'll always be daddy's girl. Do you think they're more of a daddy's girl or a mommy's girl?
Ooh. You know, it's easy for me to say daddy's girl, but
right?
I would say my oldest, of course, definitely, absolutely, daddy's girl. My youngest, you know, she'll be daddy's girl when she know how to turn it on and off. But I believe she's a mama.
That's
mama
smart,
girl, so.
Real smart. I like that. you gotta level both playing fields. You gotta use it to your advantage, you know, on both sides. Yeah. I love that. I might check that up. I might learn a little bit of something from her. But how does it feel? That was a great answer, by the way. So how does it feel spending, you know, that quality time with them, you know, knowing they're going to get older? And what is one thing that you instill in them about, well, I would say first about finances. You know, y'all go out a lot. Y'all, I want to say you're spending a lot of money. I know Mr. T. Smiley, you know, he's rich over there. But, you know, when you, like, let's say, you know, you go out and you do something, you know, big, or, you know, because we've been, you know, shut down due to the pandemic. You know, people are getting out now, you know, daddy-daughter dates, or, you know, a lot of people, you know, spending, you know, a lot of daddy-daughter, spending a lot of time having daddy-daughter dates. You know, it's the summertime. You might be going to the pool. So when you're spending that money, you know, on your girls, you know, spoiling them or whatever, what is one thing you talk to them about, you know, finances?
Oh, that's a good one. I really just when I, you know, take them to the store and buy them stuff, you know, I always tell them, because every time I get them, they always saying, let's go here, let's go here, let's go here. And I'm like, okay, listen, just because we got it, you know, and just because you've been holding on to it for a long time, that doesn't mean we go one place and you spin it up. You know what I mean? Like, maybe, you know, buy one or two things, but always remember not to just spend your money on things you see, on stuff you want versus stuff that you need, you know. And I think by their ages being 8 and 6, I believe they, you know, I believe they understand, you know, even the tough times. Say, for instance, if I, like, listen, daddy ain't got it right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to go home. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You know, they understand, you know, they understand, you know, they understand bills. They understand all that other stuff. So, you know, it's just amazing for them to understand at an early age, but at the same time, understand and still be able to adjust.
So. Right. That's awesome. And that's really good that, you know, you're real with them, saying like, hey, you know, daddy ain't got it right now. But you always give them an alternative. You don't completely shut down that quality time with them. It's just like, right, dad still sees us as a priority. And, yeah, you know, I was going
to say, we don't have to go out. We don't have to go out to have a
right,
good time.
Right, exactly.
We don't have to go spend money to have a good time. Listen,
good time.
We can go,
yep,
we can go right outside and I can show y'all how to skip a rock across some water.
That's a good skill. I still don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
That is a good skill. And it's fun, too.
Yeah, it is.
It is very fun. What is one thing that you instill in them about, you know, school, about grades, about, you know, higher education, about college, or, you know, their wow, high school? Are they in middle school or are they still in elementary?
So, my oldest, she's going to the third grade, and then my youngest, she's going to the first. So, you know, that's real young. You know what I mean? They're just beginning. So,
what a precious age.
Yeah. So, let's see. Really in school, you know, I tell you what, during this pandemic, it made us see the adults and the kids. It made us see, you know, school totally different than what we seen when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to deal with, you know, technology that we haven't even had to deal with. And we all had to learn it at the same time, and they was at home. You know, they didn't get the experience of being in school during the pandemic and everything. I mean, it's still pandemic now, but, you know, when it first happened. So just adjusting from school to home, I think my main thing was wanting them to focus and pay attention and ask questions. That's one thing I always tell them to do. you know, because if they don't, you know, it's just sitting there like you're just in there making friends, but then it's time to move on to another grade, you know, you stand back and your friends moving on, you know. So I have a backstory behind that. So my biggest thing is, you know, just that, you know, stay focused, you know, make sure you get your work done. Don't be in school playing and all that stuff when it ain't time to play, you know what I'm saying? Because you'll end up failing, you know. And so that was a personal experience of mine. It took me many years to even talk about that. But, you know, I tell anybody, you know what I'm saying, get your education, you know, do what you got to do to better yourself. So when you get older, you know what I mean? Like life won't be hard.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be easy because you have your education. So.
Right. Education is key. It's very important. Thank you so much for sharing that story. That was amazing. That was absolutely awesome. So next question is how, and this, you know, I know this might be a heavy question, but how does it feel being a Black father to young Black girls?
How does it feel being a Black father to young Black girls? You know, it feels powerful because, or it feels like you have the light or the key, you know what I mean? Basically meaning, you know, we lead by example, you know, we have a protective mindset, you know what I mean? And seeing something that doesn't represent us from another, you know, Black person, we have to show our girls that, you know, everybody ain't like that, you know.
Right.
Every guy ain't like that. But you have to watch, you know what I'm saying? You have to watch and pay attention to that character. So
absolutely. That's a good answer. So with the Breonna Taylor incident and other Black Lives Matter movements behind young Black girls and, you know, just Black women in general, what is the conversation you have about, or how did that conversation change with Breonna Taylor and, you know, the other young and young Black girls and Black women in the movement? Like, did you have a talk about race with your girls and, you know, what to do if you're encountered with the police? Because, you know, most Black fathers or Black parents, they have that conversation with their young boys. But do you, I don't know if they're too young, but did you have that conversation with your girls?
The Breonna Taylor, that with them is just, you know, kind of giving it to them as they can take it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's kind of mostly breaking it down to them, just by simply saying, you know, she didn't do anything wrong and she ended up getting killed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do, so, you know, what people do is just, you know, what you call it, like,
just, it was just evil.
Yeah, it was just bad. But, you know, what people do is they celebrate, you know, her life and stuff like that. That need the spotlight shined on them, you know what I mean? So that being that, yeah, no, I don't really talk to them about that because, you know, it's, you know, they're young, but, you know,
right.
It's just, yeah. But they understand, you know, hey, listen, if I get pulled over, you know what I'm saying? Y'all just know we, you know, that ain't gonna be okay. You know, we just gotta do what they say and just listen, you know, make sure your hands and stuff is where they can see it. Even, you know, don't make no sudden moves, all that. So, yeah, just talk, have a conversation. You know?
Right. Because that's just the most important thing, just having a conversation with your girls. And I'm glad, you know, you had that you know, that age-appropriate conversation with them. You didn't shy away from it, but you still explained it to where they could understand it. That's absolutely, absolutely awesome. So going back to my previous question about what you instilled in your girls, is there any relationship skills, not obviously when it comes to boys, but when it comes to friendships, is there anything that you've instilled to them, you know, about just having relationships with their friends And also when they get older, when, you know, it comes around that time when they will date boys, what is something that you will instill in them? And I know you probably haven't thought about it. You don't want to, not in the future or not in the near future, any future.
I tell you that what I instill in them a relationship was they not getting married until like 30, 40.
Oh, God.
I'm just playing. We don't talk about that. But no, as far as you know, just friendships and stuff like that, you know, I just tell them they, you know, just have fun, you know, be nice, you know what I mean? Treat them like you want to be treated, you know, don't be mean to them or, you know, don't be, you know, hitting each other, stuff like that. And it, even if y'all aren't playing, you know, it could lead to something else. So it's like, so, you know, that, you know, honestly, that's it. I just talked to them about that because, right. We're not talking about relationships or nothing
right.
like that, you know,
exactly.
right now.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I know that's something I have to look for later on down the road. But, you know, right now it's just, you know, make sure you're nice to your friends, you know, and things like that. So.
Right. That's good. Good job, Ms. Chief. What is the one thing that you notice in your girls that they get from you? You're like, ooh, I see that, and I see me. It's like a mirror.
ooh. All right. I would say definitely the attitude.
Oh, Lord.
They're just real goofy. They goofy. They say stuff off the wall, and it's just like, like, why would you say that? But then I'd
like,
be like,
what?
Yeah, I'd say that
bubble.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that, you know, they are little. And what is some features that you notice about them? It's like, ooh, they got my forehead or they got my feet, they got my shoulders or something like that.
Well, you know, I would say, they both have their days where it's like, maybe if they wear their hair a certain way or do something, you know, they look like me. They look exactly like me, Addie, with the nose and the eyes. They're both with the eyes and I guess the eyebrows. They just look like me.
Oh.
I mean, I don't even know how I put pictures up online and everybody be like, they look just like you. So, I mean.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yes, especially, you know what? And speaking of hair, do you know how to do their hair? If you do their hair, has there been any instance where it's like one ponytail's over here, they got a puff ball on the side,
yep.
you know,
yep.
the ears all scratched up because, you know, the brush, you know, because I remember one time my dad was doing my hair and it was atrocious and I had to go to school looking like that. I was like, you know what, maybe a fro today. Maybe I'm just going to fro it out. It was bad. So I know you have an instance. Well, I mean, maybe it might not be both of your girls, but if you do, please share.
Yeah, both of them. Like if they getting their hair done, put it like this. If it's just the regular old day and they get their hair in the ponytail or whatever, and they come and they go to sleep and they wake up the next day, like, I have to look at their hair and be like, man, like, I got to try to do something. I got to try to do something. And I'll be like, what your mom put on here? Or, you know, what they normally do, like, how you make it wet? How you get it low? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord.
So I know I did my baby girl like that. And she, you know, she was like, Dad, you just, it don't look good. You know, I'm like, wow, you know, I'm trying,
honestly.
You know what I'm saying? So honestly now, you know, if they get their hair done, they get their hair done now, they mostly try to get braids because they can put them up. And fun or ponytail or whatever. Now they do it. They do their own hair sometimes. So it's kind of like, wow, I don't have to do it no more. So they try to come with braids a lot. So it's easy for me to just do something. So
their own hair at first and third grade. I need to learn something from them because I was getting perms still. Ooh,
yeah, they get those braids in and then they can put them in different hairstyle, braid styles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just be like, I just sit back and look at them like, wow.
Is there an instance where you did their hair and like they had to go to school or an important event and you're like, I know this doesn't look good, but we just going to have to go out the door because, you know, let's say we're already running late or we got to get somewhere and like their head was all over their hair
yeah.
was all over their head.
a couple times on a, you know, on a Saturday, Sunday morning, you know what I'm saying, when I was going to the church.
Mm-hmm.
I try to rush it, you know what I'm saying? So when we get to the church, they'll be like, tell her come here so I can fix that. Yeah, fix that real quick. Fix that. I tried at the house. It didn't work. So,
right,
yeah,
it takes
that for me. Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Not them showing up to the church house with their hair all over their head.
Yeah, Mr. T.
You're trying. That's all that matters.
Bad. You know, at least it was family folks. So they knew. They just laughed at me. They just laughed at me and was like, come here, baby. Let me fix that.
Oh, my goodness. That is funny. Yeah, black girls in our hair, we take it very seriously, especially when they're little. It's like, it has to be right. It has to be tight. You know, you might even have to do the edges. Have you ever done the edges? The little swoop?
Oh, yeah. I tried. You know.
You got to get the right edge control.
It probably swooped a little bit until we went outside, and then it was like, I don't know.
It's an art to the swoops. Shout out to all the girl dads that know how to do the baby hairs. I'm still learning how to do the little swoops on mine. I just do one big swoop and it stays. If I do too many swoops, it gets all puffy. But yeah, that's good. At least you're trying. The effort, the A is, you know, A is for effort.
Okay.
So what is your advice for another black father or a soon-to-be father right now, you know, just in this climate? What would be any advice that you would give them?
Oh, that's having a kid or a girl?
Let's say both. Let's say having a new father, a new black father, and then, you know, a girl dad.
Well, I'll speak on the girl dad. So I would say, you know, if you're used to being hard, in a sense, you know, tight, overly protective, all that, you know, I would say having a girl would definitely teach you a lot. And I think the number one thing it would teach you is, like, patience, you know what I mean? Because I was very, you know, tight on, you know, not being patient enough, and having a girl makes you humble all the way down, because it's like, mm-hmm. Oh man, you have to understand so many emotions, and it's crazy, you know what I mean? Like, I just cry for no reason. It's like, well, what's going on? You know,
you alright?
and if you're used to fussing or all that, you know, it breaks that down too as well, because, you know, you find out that, you know, if you fuss, you ain't getting nothing out of them anyway. So you might want to just talk to them soft and, you know, easy and slow, and, you know, give them time to express the feelings. So I would just say patience is key. Patience is definitely key in having being a girl dad, you know, and then sometimes you have to sacrifice, compromise, and get your hand down there and let them paint your fingernails and get glitter all over. I'm just speaking personal experiences. It happened to me. It happened to me. I'm talking about, like,
your nails, like,
nail polish, glitter, which I hate. You know, by the time I got done, it was all over my hands. So, but yeah, you have to get down and do a tea party or, you know, whatever the case may be, and it's a cool experience. You know, that's for the girly girlies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the ones that's very into sports. You know, it's like outside day at the park. You know, doing different stuff in sports and stuff. Yeah, patience is key. I tell anybody patience. So
that's some good advice. Very sound advice. So last question, what is the biggest lesson you've learned from being, you know, raising your two daughters? And what is the biggest lesson you want them to learn from you?
Wow. Biggest lesson I've learned is...
You're good. Take your time.
I would say like responsibility, self-care, self-action. Just being available and just trying to be a better you, from the day before. And so what I want them to learn from me is for them to be able to love themselves, you know, be respectful, you know, and just keep your head on straight, you know what I mean? If they want something in life, you know, I want them to know they have to work hard and do their very best so they can be able to have that life that they want. So.
Yep. That's great advice. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Smiley. This has been an amazing interview. Let's give him a round of applause. I know he must be here, y'all, but y'all better give him a round of applause. That was amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that sound advice. We've learned so much about you. I know, you know, you love being a girl dad. Lastly, would you just plug your radio show and all your social medias? We would love to get to know you even more, even see your little girls. That would be awesome. So go ahead and plug yourself.
Cool, cool. All right. So this is T Smiley right here on We Talk Radio. I do have a show. I have a show on Saturdays, the Cave Radio Show with your boy T Smiley and my cave men that comes on. And we just have great conversations, kind of men shows from 10 a.m. It starts 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. We do an hour show. We do have guests. We have interview people. I think the last one I did was Mr. Titus Showers, gospel artist. And so y'all go check him out as well. He's real nice. He has a song called We Need You, and it's absolutely amazing. You can catch me on IG, T Smiley Productions, T Smiley Productions on IG. Hit me up on there. You'll see a lot of pictures, a lot of videos, you know what I'm saying? You'll see my daughters in there.
being a great girl dad.
Yeah. That's T Smiley. Check me out. Saturdays, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time.
And y'all make sure y'all follow him on IG at T Smiley Productions. Yeah, thank you so much, Mr. T. Smiley. I'm going to let you, you know, get on with your day, be with your girls. You have an amazing Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you. Thank you so
much for
being an amazing Black father, because, you know, the devil is trying, and the weapons are forming. It's crazy out here, but you are doing an amazing job. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and, you know, just having that conversation with me about being an amazing girl dad. Thank you so much.
Listen, before we leave, I want to thank you and congratulate you on your show, this show.
Thank you.
This brand new show. What was it? Tell me the title of the show again.
Friday Night Hype with DB. It's on Fridays at 7 p.m.
Nice. That's what's up. Right here on We Talk Radio. Y'all
right
check
here
us out.
On We Talk Radio. Yes. Thank you again. Y'all have
You're
a great
welcome.
Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth. Hello.
Yeah.
We Don't are. Think. Yep. Juneteenth. Yes. This Saturday. We are so excited. We'll check out your radio show, Cave Radio Show, 10 a.m. Saturday, Central Standard Time. Thank you so much. Y'all have a blessed day. Peace out.
This is going out to all the shorties around the world.
Never knew it could be so wicked. Hoping that you stay with me. Search around the world, but you will never find another shorty like mine.
Come on.
When I ran into this one, she would be the red room of my pimping. Knew she'd be the one to make me stop caring about other girls on my dock and getting them. She was the one to slow me down, hold me down. I'm roll with it now, go with it now. I'ma grow with it now, I'ma go get it, that's how. I've got her, don't be mad, you can't get one hotter. Broke them over, they made little mama. I don't care what my niggas say. She been there every day for my drama. Some of the homies hate, cause they want her. Wish they the ones was dating my woman. Don't get a good look, cause she fine. And I don't mind, cause she mine.
Only thing that keeps me up, when I'm feeling down. I don't know about you, but I keep mine.
care what the fellas say about it. I got something to say about it. What I'm about to say is straight up real talk, no cut, I don't play about it.
There ain't a price you can put on a girl who knows just what to say when you need to hear it the most. And I'ma tell you something else, if I don't know nothing else, I know.
Only thing that keeps me up when I'm feeling
only
down,
thing that
I
need
don't know about you, but I got keep mine.
And I ain't never tryna lose her. I'm addicted to my girl and the way that she twirls in that blue skirt. Just for me, in the club, in the crib, in the streets. She reps for LB Dub, ENT. She a nice size with the pretty brown bright eyes. I'm a winner with the right prize, and I'ma give it to her to the rhythm of a hi-hat. She got a beautiful mind, you can't buy that. In the sight from behind when she walk on by, make a nigga wanna try that. She got the prettiest smile and she gangster. Keep me from running wild and I thank her. And we can talk about anything, she got good conversation. My homie love a friend and plus she patient.
Only thing that keeps me up when I'm feeling down, I don't know about you, but I gotta keep my eyes around. I done looked, I done searched, and it's hard to find another shorty like mine. Baby, yes, I'm addicted to how we kick it. Everything you say to me.
That's on me, baby. Yeah, you can snooze if you wanna, but not on me, baby. And no, I ain't taking no loss. Yeah, I got heat, baby. No, I don't know nothing about those. No, I don't sleep, baby. You know that you ain't guessing me. Yeah, I'm on E, baby. Got all the vine on me. That's on me, baby. That's on me, baby. That's on me, baby.
Sleep, baby. You
ain't gassing me, so then, yeah, I'm on E, baby. Got all designer on me, that's on me, baby. That's on me, baby. That's on me, baby. Need to put any line on me, that's on me, baby. That's on me, baby. That's on me, baby. Baby, that's on me, baby. That's on me, baby. Keep that item on me. Yeah, that's on me, baby. That's on me, baby. That's on me, baby.
It's your girl, your pal, your gal. Anyways, Destiny Brown, y'all may know me from a little show called The Ken and Rye Show. You know, I'm Destiny, the producer on there, and I've loved doing it for so many years. Me and the We Talk Radio team, we were talking, and they were like, Destiny, you need your own show. We named the show Friday Night Hype with DB, and I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about hot topics, what's going on in the world, what's going on in pop culture, what's going on, you know, in our personal lives, you know, maybe be, you know, spilling a little bit of tea. The tea runneth over. Relationships, you know, boys, gals, the whole bit, you know, college, jobs, finding a big girl job, having a hot girl summer or a holy girl summer, you know, whatever you want to do. It's more of a, you know, a fresh vibe, very mature vibe. You know, I just turned 21. Friday Night Hype with me, your girl DB, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join me. We're going to have a great time. We in this thing.
Hey, we in this thing. Y'all, I'm still... If y'all know me, I think, I mean, growing up, I loved Nicki Minaj, but I never could really get all of her lyrics, and it never just registered in my brain. But baby, that Cardi B, still, be careful, be careful, be careful with me. Yes, I love, y'all, I love that song. That was my favorite song off of her, what was the album called? Lord, I'm not that big of a fan, I guess. What was the album called? Y'all, I forgot. Y'all, let me know what the album was called. Let me look it up real quick, the album. But, y'all, I love that song. And that Yellow Beastie song. Ooh, I haven't heard that song in forever. But, y'all, Mr. T Smiley, tons of applause for him. That was such a great interview. We're about to get into our next interview real quick. But y'all know what Mr. T Smiley said. Y'all check him out on the social media, T Smiley Productions on IG. And... y'all make sure y'all tune into his Cave Radio Show, 10 a.m. Saturdays. Y'all know what to do. Tune in. Hype him up on IG. We need to make, you know, let's get some Friday Night Hype love from the Friday Night Hype family. You know, we got to start this off early. We got to develop our, you know, our name. What is it going to be our, like, the fan name? Is it going to be Friday Night Hype Fam? Friday Night Hype Crew? What's it going to be? Y'all let me know on WeTalkRadio.com. What is our name going to be? I was thinking of Friday Night Hype Fam because, you know, we're a family. We are a family like a giant tree. What movie is that from? Call in next week and be like, that movie is da-da-da-da-da. We are a family like a giant tree reaching up to the sky. We are a family. Y'all know what that movie is. If y'all don't know that movie, I'm about to stop rambling. But if y'all don't know that movie, y'all let me know what that movie is. Next week, we're going to call in and be like, okay, what's that movie? Might get a prize. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Got to talk to the team. I'll talk to the team, and I'll be right back. But we are about to get into our next interview. Are y'all ready for this one? Are y'all ready for this one? I don't hear y'all. I don't hear y'all. Let me hear y'all. Yes, we're ready. Okay, y'all ready? All right, let's get into this next interview. I'll be right back, y'all. Y'all know we are holding it down. Friday Night Hype with DB. Let's get into it. Y'all ready? Let's get it. Let's go. And we got our last guest for the night, the man, the myth, the legend, Eldot. Woo! Or known as my stepdad. I call him Dad. So, yeah, I have my stepdad here with me, guys. You know, we call him Mr. J. But when we first met him, but now we just call him Dad. But yeah, Dad, how are you? How you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Doing pretty good?
Maintaining.
That's good. It is Friday, and I'm very happy it's Friday. Are you happy it's Friday?
I am elated it's Friday.
Yep. Just got off work, chilling. It's great in these streets. Great in these Juneteenth streets. Happy Juneteenth, Dad. And happy Father's Day. Oh. Well, Father's Day weekend, you know. Father's Day is on Sunday, but happy early Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth. Are you excited for this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted a lot of relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some good food.
Yes.
I'm just chilling, you know.
Are you barbecuing this weekend?
No.
Oh, please. Please. No. At least some chicken. Some chicken. You know, if y'all don't know y'all, I'm going to talk about it in a later show, but me, my mom, and my sister, and my dad out of, I guess out of force. It wasn't really a decision of his. But my mom wanted to go vegan back in March, and so me and my sister did it. And, you know, with her, and my dad kind of, like, you know, tagged along because, like, we didn't have a choice and we were only buying, like, vegan groceries. Everything was plant-based. And then after, after about a month, we started incorporating, like, other foods again, like breads and, you know, maybe other snacks. But ever since, like, mid-March, we've been, you know, vegan. So I'm like, at least some chicken, Dad. Come on. Mom will eat it. It's not just me and, you know, Kennedy that are going to eat it. Mom will eat it, too.
Yeah, but it's about me relaxing. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It is Father's Day weekend, so I guess we'll give you a break. I guess we'll give you a break. But we love your barbecue. And so, you know, why don't you do it? Why don't I help you? If I help you, then you can make it.
You can help me next weekend.
Y'all see, is anybody else's dad like this? I'm just hungry over here. Oh, my God. Anyways. I'm with my dad, y'all. Dad, give a little introduction about yourself. The man, the myth, the legend.
38-year-old father.
Ooh, almost 40.
I'm not almost 40. I'm 38.
Got two more years on you.
Recently turned 38.
All right.
I've got a while before I'm 40. All right. I'm a graphic production supervisor.
All right.
At a company out in Dallas, as well as I am the chief creative officer and founder of Blueprint Branding.
All right, Blueprint.
And that's BLVE, Print Branding.
Hey, got that plug in there. Got to make sure we get that plug. Say that one more time, Dad.
BLVE, Print Branding. And you can find us online at Blueprint, B-L-V-E, print.com. We're actually going to be launching in July of this year, so look forward to some big things. We got some big things coming down the pipeline, so I'm excited about that.
All right. That's awesome, Dad. That's great. These big things coming in July. Hopefully, maybe I'll get something out of that big launch. I don't know what I'll get.
Honey, you are 21 with no bills. Your life is a gift.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But, Dad, I got some questions for you. You know, it's Father's Day weekend. We have our episode is about, you know, black fathers and specifically black fathers to girls. And so you have two beautiful girls, me and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm 21. My sister is 15. She'll be 16 in September. Oh, my God. But really quickly, how is it like being a girl dad?
I don't really know how to compare it to anything else because all I've ever had is you two. So, I mean, I guess to try to describe it in comparison to if I had boys, I mean, it's just different, but even you and your sister, y'all are so different. And then your mom, I mean, it's a lot of estrogen in the house.
Yep.
But, I mean,
very much so.
My wife, your mom, you and your sister, y'all all are different in so many ways, but y'all are also the same in so many ways. So it's not easy being a father. I don't care if it's a girl or a boy, I would imagine. I mean, going into fatherhood, I was, you know, 25 with no kids of my own when I met your mom. So was I ready to be a father? I don't know, but I mean, when are you ready to do something? When are you not? You never really know. You're ready when you have to do it. I met your mom, fell head over heels for her, and so y'all came with the package.
We did.
I grew up with step parents, both from my mom's side and my dad's side, so it wasn't something that I was afraid of doing, or, you know, it's a challenge. Being a parent is a challenge. There's no book on it or a manual. Each child is different. Each circumstance or situation is different. So you go into it with, typically, if you want to succeed, you push forward. That goes for anything. And that's one of the things that I try to, I guess, instill in y'all, is that if it's something that you want to do, then you got to put in the work to do it. So I think parenting is no different. There'll be times that you're tired. There'll be times that you're not in the mood to do X, Y, or Z. But, you know, it's, you push forward.
Yep. That's a good answer, Dad. Good answer. Give me a round of applause. All right. So, when you were talking about it, I was like, Laura, let me backtrack. I said stepdad and didn't even realize that. I didn't even get an introduction of, like, how we met and everything. So, when I was, I think, was I 8 or 7?
You were 7 turning 8.
So, I met my dad on my 8th birthday. He came into our house, and he had a puppy in his hands, and all I hear is, ah! Like, I just hear this dog in the back, and I'm like, I just thought our neighbor's got a dog. So I was like, okay, maybe our neighbor's got a dog. And so I walk, like, the door opens, my mom, she's like, hey, Des, you know, hey, Ken. And so I move out the way. Oh, no, I don't think Kennedy was there. I think it was just me answering the door. And so I move out the way, and I see you, this man with this big old puppy in his hand. And I'm like, or not big, he was a small puppy. His name was Alex. Ooh, rest in peace, that's my baby. Anyway, there was this puppy in his hands, and I was just like, oh my God. So I immediately fell in love with you because, you know, I've wanted a dog for, I always wanted a dog. Most kids, you know, want dogs. So, and, you know, I thought I wanted a sister, and then Kennedy, you know, once she hit 2, that's when she started getting crazy, and I was like, yeah, this isn't working anymore. I need a dog, something else. So, when you had that dog in your hand, I just immediately fell in love. I was like, oh my gosh. Well, that was my first impression of you. What was your first impression of me and Kennedy?
Well, I mean, y'all have always been sweet girls.
The crazy didn't kick in until afterwards.
At 25, I mean, you start to run into
that man.
You start to run into the age group where typically majority of the women that you would meet or date, they have children.
Really?
Because a lot of people start having kids in their late teens, early 20s. By the time you get to 25, and your mom is a little bit older than me, so then add a couple of more years to that, the likelihood of the person having a kid increases dramatically the further you get away from 20. So I had talked to and dated other women that had kids, but I didn't have a relationship with their kids, like, or interaction like that with their kids. So it was like I was dating their mother.
Right.
And that was it. And so with y'all, the difference there was, A, I knew that I really liked your mom, and so the projection of me liking your mom as much as I did and, you know, ultimately growing to love your mom and all of those things was that I was going to have a relationship with y'all, because that's how I grew up. My step parents, which I don't even really like calling them that, because it's almost like it makes it
a division or something.
Well, not even like it's a division, but it's just, you know, coming up when you hear the term step parents, it's like the evil stepmother and all this other stuff from the book, the kids books and stuff like that. So I never really looked at it like that. Like, my stepmom, whom's really like mummy number two, Nana.
We love you, Nana. Shut up.
She never, it was never a negative relationship. And my mother's ex-husband, whom I would consider my stepfather, it wasn't a negative relationship. Like, so in meeting y'all, first and foremost, I had met other children around the same ages as y'all, and y'all were sweet, but I mean, y'all are still sweet.
Thanks. You try.
Like, if I compare my 21-year-old to the next 21-year-old, majority of the time, it's like this huge variance. 'Cause 21-year-olds, like, yeah, I have gray hair, but maybe if you were your prototypical 21-year-old, it would be even grayer.
Oh, Lord.
Like, I have salt, and I'm salting and peppering him, but it ain't as gray as it could be.
That's very true.
You're low stress for me, which is a blessing. So is your sister. I mean, Kennedy's not the same as you personality-wise, but both of y'all are both sweet. I remember you sounded like Minnie Mouse.
Yeah. That's what was going to be my next question. I was like, what was one thing... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I remember you sounded like... Maybe if you were your prototypical 21-year-old, it would be even grayer.
Oh, Lord.
Like, I have salt, and I'm salting and peppering him, but... It ain't as gray as it could be.
That's very true.
You're low stress for me, which is a blessing. So is your sister. I mean, Kennedy's not the same as you personality-wise, but both of y'all are both sweet. I remember you sounded like Minnie Mouse.
Yeah. That's what was going to be my next question. I was like, what was one thing... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I remember you sounded like Minnie Mouse, and all Kennedy... ever wanted to do was lay on her back and drink strawberry milk out of her sippy cup and watch Beyonce's concert special on HBO.
Yep. That's all we ever watched as a kid. But that's why we love Beyonce now. We love her so much. Because that was one of the DVDs that, I mean, we had like cable and stuff, but that's all Kennedy wanted to watch. And if I turned it on something else, she would start crying or like have a hissy fit.
Literally,
it was terrible.
Your sister was two, and I mean the extent of what she wanted to say would be
milk. Yes, strawberry milk. I hate strawberry milk. It had a weird smell.
I mean, it probably had a weird smell because she was probably drinking the same milk that had been sitting out in that cup for, you know, Lord knows how many hours.
The poor girl probably had to run. Lord of mercy.
Well, we found out she wasn't lactose because as much milk as she drank back then.
Yep. Very, very true. So, what is your favorite personality trait about me and my sister? Either like one that we both share or just one individually?
For you, it would probably be you're a very caring person, and I admire that about you because not everybody's like that. You're a very giving, caring person, and so like that caring nature, I think, like I want you to always keep that about you no matter what happens in life. I know you run the risk of people potentially trying to take advantage of your caring nature, but still, it's to me, it's like that caring nature is close to the genuineness of God. Like, what, as a Christian, like, we should stand for. I think if more people were as caring as you, that the world would be a better place.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you.
With Kennedy, I admire the fact that she can be her authentic self. a lot of people put on, you know, charades for people. You know, they act or pretend to be a certain way depending on whatever crowd they're around.
Mm-hmm.
And I admire the fact that she can be her authentic self. Even if I don't agree with her authentic self, she can still, like, she is her own person. And
yep.
That's valuable. And, I mean, both of y'all are sweet, so it's almost like she's also giving and she's also sweet. I mean, she'll give the last dollar out of her pocket to the hungry person on the side of the road. So, I mean, both of y'all both share that trait as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one thing about the authenticity is that's something that I've had to learn, especially going to I went to a fine arts school in high school, so I felt like going from a my middle school was very STEM-based. It was a I went to one of the Harmony Science Academies here in North Texas, and I know that, I mean, I don't know if there's any outside of the state of Texas, but if you know, you know, there's a Harmony Science Academy all over Texas, North Texas, South Texas, East Texas, East Texas, West Texas. I see them everywhere I go. And so that school was very STEM-based, and we had sports, but it was making that transition from middle school to high school. Oof, that was just a rough transition because I was everything was really, like, performance-based. Like, I had to, you know, there was performances. I had to audition. It was, you know, I didn't always get what I wanted to. And it's like everybody told me when I was growing up I was just such a great dancer. And so when I went into high school, it was very and I wasn't, you know, it was all these. One, it wasn't a lot of, you know, black kids of color. There was some, but there wasn't, you know, a lot. So, yeah. And so I was going to ask you that transition from middle school to high school, especially in my high school years. I know one thing that really hurt, like, every time, or that I remember, So every time I would, like, come back home and I wouldn't get an audition, or I would come back from a class, like, that first, my freshman year was probably one of the worst years ever. It was the worst because all my life, when people come, hype you up? And people have been hyping you up your entire life, and you know, you're playing the violin, and they're like, ooh, girl, you good. Ooh, girl, you good. And, you know, you took lessons when you were little, and then you stopped, but you kept, you know, you kept doing it. You kept, you know, trying to perfect your craft. But when you get in another space, and everybody's like, oh, well, not that you're not good, but it's just like, well, you're not like these girls, so you ain't good, basically. So I had to work my way up. And so what is one, I know one thing you instilled in me was, you know, just keep going, even though I was like, you know what, maybe I just need to go to a regular high school. This school ain't got no pep rallies. They ain't got no sports. We don't have homecoming. You know, we don't really have a lot of school dances or anything. Like, it was, you know, you have a performance. You have, you know, you take your regular classes, and then at the end of the day, you have an hour and a half of, you know, your strand or your genre of, or your fine art. So mine was dance. We had orchestra. We had mariachi. We had, you know, theater. We had choir, all that stuff. So what is one thing that you instilled in me during that time? Or what's one thing that you remember about that time where you're like, whoa, ooh, like it was that point? Because I just know that was
hard for me. Well, one thing that I hope I instilled in you, because you never really know until you see your child projecting the little tidbits that you pass along. Because if I sit you down and say, be like this, even if I say it over and over again, it's almost like I'm trying to beat it into you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and some, there may be some parent strategy, you know, to each his own. But for me, it's more so about the nuggets, like the things that will come up later on in life, and then you'll grasp to that and you'll have that foundation of, okay, if this comes up, like, I remember when this was hard, I didn't quit, so I'm not going to quit now. And one thing that I try to instill in y'all is that, like, we don't quit.
Right.
Like, no matter what, we don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
We may not win, we're going to fail from time to time. But the hope is that I win more than I lose, and I never quit. And so in that time, I just told you to keep pushing. Like, I think in life, there's levels. You know what I mean? There's levels as a parent. There's levels as a worker when you're working for somebody. There's levels to everything. It's just like being good in high school at basketball doesn't mean you're going to be good in college, doesn't mean you're going to be good enough in college to make it to the NBA. And then even if you make it to the NBA, doesn't mean you're going to be good in the NBA. Like, everybody's not LeBron. Everybody's not Jordan. So
Kobe.
Right. Or Kobe. So I guess you learn that there's levels. And the more you break outside of your box that you're in and go to the next bigger box, you'll understand that there's more people closer to being on your level. Like, if you just stay dancing at Greater Leisure and, you know, at family gatherings, then you wouldn't know that there's this whole technical side of dance that you didn't have experience with. And so I think it helps you to grow as a person. Because, I mean, I had a similar experience when I was younger. I went to Eastland Elementary School, where probably the lowest grade I ever got was a 97. Like, the entirety of my elementary. And so to the point where they wanted to skip me up grades, do all this other stuff. And so then I get into a magnet program, which is like an advanced, you know, program in middle school. This was probably the first time I had a white kid in my class. Not only did I have white kids, I had lots of white kids and some Asians and some Middle Easterners. And I remember I got the summer reading list before the school year began. And it was all of these books that I'd never even, I mean, they looked like Bibles. They were so big. It was intimidating.
What's the one with the whale? Moby Dick.
No, it was like the summer reading list. I think I found one of the books at the library or something. You know, y'all would know nothing about libraries.
I know exactly what the library is. Y'all, I used to go to the library when I was little.
Cell phone generation. Y'all just pulled the book up on your tablet and read it. But
I still like buying tangible books.
I mean, we went to the library and I got this book, and I mean, the book had to have been about good 2.5 inches thick, little font. It probably was like 500 pages. I had never read anything even close to that big in my entire life.
Lord of mercy.
And I'm sitting there looking at words in this book that, because when you, and that's why reading is important, because it introduced you to new words. It introduced you to new
perspectives,
and not even that, like, it helps with your linguistic development, because in a normal household, there are certain words that you probably would never even use in communication with each other. And so by reading these books, it helps you to develop a more diverse vocabulary.
Right.
And so it was intimidating. And this is where I got my first failing grade and all of this stuff. And so I could have quit at that point, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's the same as you. You know, okay, now I'm amongst a collection of smarter people. And so I can either be intimidated by that or I can rise to the occasion. And I think that that's a life lesson that either one of you or your sister can learn, and I try to instill in y'all. Because there's been other times and situations where your younger sister was maybe having difficulty in math or this or whatever, and we didn't let her quit. And I hope that she projects that same mindset and that same thought process as she moves on and further in life.
Yeah. Y'all, sorry if you hear the microwave. Mom is over here Mom's over here is making some food. Lord have mercy.
Sorry.
Mom is making food. And somebody's at our door. Love that. But.
Pause.
All right. So, whew, my mom had her stuff in the microwave. Lord have mercy. But anyways, I know we were talking about, you know, Kennedy and my sister Kennedy and I, you know, our experiences having, our experiences in school and what you've instilled in us. So I was going to ask, I know recently this past year with the Breonna Taylor incident and the Black Lives Matter movement, but, Let me think about my question one more time. I'm trying to make sure I phrase it right. So did Breonna Taylor or any other Black Lives Matter movements that happened in this past year regarding black women make you have a different conversation about race with me and Kennedy?
I don't think it was specifically a black woman race thing. I think it was a holistic race thing. Obviously, it was highlighted in the Breonna Taylor, but I mean, even back in the Sandra Bland circumstance or situation a few years ago, like, it reintroduced us to talking about race relations here in America. I mean, when you went to high school, you went to a high school that was, what, predominantly
white,
Caucasian and Hispanic.
Right.
And so now the college you go to is predominantly Caucasian.
We have a little HBCU in there.
Right. And so
a little HBCU section.
And so
shout out to Sam Houston State University.
And so I feel like I've always like told you little nuggets here and there in regards to your relations with other people, and even when you would speak about them, I mean, it reintroduces the idea that it is more difficult for African Americans in America than maybe other nationalities.
Right.
And so, or other, because it's not really nationalities. We're all
it's other races.
Other races. And so, you have to be sure of yourself. But you also have to overcome and push forward.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just the reality that we live in. There's nothing that I can do to make race in regards to you as a young black woman in America go away. So all I can do is prepare you for mentally for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even as you get older and you go off out into the world and you're experiencing the world more so on your own, I'll always be there. You'll always be able to call me or come see me and we can talk about whatever you're going through. So I think it's just a matter of having a support system in the midst of.
Right.
Because I can give you all kinds of scenarios today, but that doesn't mean that it's going to tailored to the specific scenario that you might find yourself in the future. So
involving, you know, the police or any law enforcement.
Yeah. And so, I mean, y'all had a situation that I think was racially motivated on the golf course.
Right.
Walking, because in case y'all don't know, we live on a golf course. And
I know,
no,
we sound bougie.
And no, we're not rich. No, I'm just kidding. But you were walking with your mom and your sister and some of our neighbors, and y'all were, it was what, maybe six of y'all?
It was a...
Five of y'all black, one Caucasian.
One white girl that was with us, she was like my age, I think she,
and
at the
I mean,
I think she was 19 and I was 20, so we were like
been,
the same age.
We've been living in this house for, you know, going on 3 years. We've been on the golf course multiple times from... with our dog or just walking in general. And
right.
For some reason, this particular time, the people at the golf course called the police as if this group of five or six women was...
We don't have... So when we were out in the golf course, we were... It was right around this time last year. And so, you know, we were just wanting to walk outside, and we didn't want to do it, you know, early in the day because, you know, we live in Texas and it's hot. So we went outside at about 6, probably like 6 or 7.
I mean, the golf course is closed.
Right,
so
it was closed, but there's no signs that say no trespassing or anything like that. So we walked. It was me, our two other neighbors. It was me, my mom, my sister, and our two other neighbors, and then another young lady that was with us. And she lives in our neighborhood as well. And so we were all just walking, and so they called the cops on us, and they were like, I think they were going to arrest, I don't know what they were going to do, but they were, I honestly don't remember.
Well,
what
I mean,
happened.
The thing that
we were trespassing.
Right.
And we were like, there's no trespassing signs. Like, there's no signs that say no trespassing, because if they say no trespassing, obviously if you see that sign,
well,
you better turn around.
It's not even about a sign for me. Like I said, we've been living here for 3 years. So for the past 3 years, I've been seeing other white people walking on the golf course in
right.
the evenings with their dogs, with their strollers, jogging, white women, white men.
Right.
I mean, I've seen people with their dogs out there, not even on leashes and stuff, just running around on the golf course.
Right. While other golfers are golfing.
And I've never seen the police called on any of them for the past 3 years. And so for y'all being African-American women, and I mean, come on. Like, even looking at the group of y'all walking, one of the neighbors is like 70 years old.
Yeah, she's not old looking. She looks real good.
Yeah, but she's in her
70s.
You can tell she's older. And so I'm like, what are they doing? Stealing grass? Like, I don't understand what the scenario or the situation was.
Grass.
I think that it was racially motivated, the fact that y'all even had the police calling on y'all in the first place. And it was kind of one of your first experiences with overt racism in regards to law enforcement and all of that. And so
and they came out just so aggressive. They were on their little golf cart, and they were like, they just ran out, and they were like, okay, we're going to have to let you sit down. And so the lady that was 70, you know, she was like, you know, I got, you know, some people, she's like, you know, I think she said she had bad knees or something. Like, I can't sit down, but, you know, I can stand up. And because we were on the sidewalk, and he told us to get on the grass. And so the lady, she was like, I'm sorry, I can't get on the grass. And then, you know, we had on workout clothes, and, you know, I think it had rained maybe
well,
a couple days
even,
prior. It's like, we didn't want to get on the
even
floor.
Still,
like, can we just get on the grass and stand up?
As a police officer,
what
a group full of women ranging from 15 to 70, what are they going to do? They're going to rob the cops? Like, they're about to pull out guns and start shooting it. Like, and so it's like, even for them to treat y'all in that manner, I feel like, and I mean, I don't think anybody can convince me otherwise, that if y'all were a group of 5 white women, that situation doesn't even occur.
Yeah. We probably wouldn't have got the cops called on. I don't know.
Did call the police, that's not going to be your interaction. They're not going to come there and start telling people to sit down. It's not like we live in a bad neighborhood.
Right.
You know? And so I don't know if the idea was that we couldn't afford to live here, and so they're looking at y'all like y'all
don't.
Oh,
yeah, they thought we were from the that we have a, well, it was brand new at the time, but we have a apartment complex. It's newer. That was across the street, and, you know, a lot of people were moving in at the time because, you know, it was new and stuff like that. So they thought we were from across the street, I think.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. And it's not across the street. It's across from our neighborhood, but I get what
that's
you're
what
saying.
I'm sorry, yeah.
So,
that's from our neighborhood.
And so
that's where they thought we were from.
But that's still overt classism. That's
right.
Overt racism. Like, at the end of the day, if y'all were Caucasian, y'all don't even have to live on this street, and y'all could have been Caucasian walking through that golf course, and I don't believe anything would have happened because I've never seen it before. And so it's disappointing because, you know, we're several decades since civil rights, but as the George Floyd and the Breonna Taylor and all of these other things have put in the highlight on the fact is that we still have a ways to go in regards to race relations in this country, and heck, probably even in the world. It's just in America, it's so rooted in our origin story that it's almost like we have an even longer way to go than the rest of the world, because the basis of America was built by slaves. And right. So, and that classism along with racism that allowed that, you know, machine to operate is still interwoven in our society today. And so it's one of those things where the Breonna Taylor and the George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter and all of those movements and things and relations, it opened up the door for us to talk about race relations more so in our household as a whole.
Right.
And just have a better understanding of how the world works, because y'all live a very sheltered lifestyle. Like, it's a lot of stresses that other 21-year-olds may have that you don't experience, you know? And so it's important that we try to expose you to as much as possible. And I know it's kind of difficult to say that because you're 21, so technically you can go to any bar or club in North Texas and order drinks. How crazy is that? But it's still a process because you're never done parenting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still things that I get from my parents to this day, and I'm almost 40, like you said. So you're never done parenting. And it's always room for improvement, like in my opinion, as a parent. You know, mm-hmm. that you make mistakes as a parent, no different than the child makes mistakes. And you try to do better than you did the last time, and then try to do better than you did the time before that. I mean, it's a progress. And so it's a process and it's progress.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as a parent, whether it be a girl dad or you have sons or you have sons and daughters, it's a process as a father in general. It's not easy, but the reward is seeing your children do well.
Right, right. That's great, Dad. Great, great answer. So what is your favorite thing to do with me and Kennedy?
Honestly,
I know since the pandemic we haven't really done.
Honestly, I like just talking to y'all. Like, talking to y'all is entertaining to me. And it's fun and it's funny, and I get to laugh at y'all's viewpoint on things that I think is crazy half the time, but
it's not.
No, it is. I mean, when we get in the kitchen together and we're making a meal together, that's fun. I mean, anything. Like, watching a movie together is fun, even though you talk half the time trying to figure out
I'm
the plot.
I'm just trying to figure out what's
out
going
loud.
On. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. That's it. Especially when we're watching Marvel movies. I like Marvel. I just need to understand. Sometimes we watch stuff out of sequence. Don't kill me, but I still haven't watched the first Avengers. And so when we watch Avengers Endgame, I'm like, okay, what's going on? Not Endgame. It was the one before that.
Infinity War.
I'm like, okay, what's going on? Because I haven't watched the first one. I'm just confused. And then, you know, we end up watching.
Well,
everything's just out of order.
9 times out of 10, the questions you're asking are answered in the movie. And so then I'm sitting there like, just watch the movie.
Lord have mercy. I just got to stop. That's why I might pause it or something, because I'm just trying to understand what's going on. Because Marvel's complex. And don't even get me started about DC. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know if it connects, doesn't connect, but, you know, whatever. All right, so how does it feel being a black father, a young black girl? I know that kind of goes into what you said about the whole Breonna Taylor
situation. I mean, this is the thing. So I'm black and I'm proud.
Period.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud.
Period.
But I'm also a human being. You know what
right.
I mean? And so
in
being a father, like, obviously there are things that it's a little different being black than it is being maybe another race, maybe if I were white or Asian or something like that. But I think being a father in general
is a tough.
I mean, it's
not
easy.
Yeah, but for young black girls, I guess my question is, like, is it different? Would you would it be different at than raising young black boys?
I don't know if it, I mean, obviously there would be certain aspects of it that would be different. Like, I don't think that I would be as concerned about, you know, when they start dating and all this other thing.
Really?
As if it were a boy, as I would if, with y'all being girls. But at the same time, I'm not that far separated from my own youth as far as my memory goes, as far as me remembering the things that I was going through when I was your age and in your age range, even in Kennedy's age range. So it's one of those things where it's like I don't want to be over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to...
Like overprotective?
Not even because I'm going to be overprotective just in general.
Like dramatic over the top?
Like aggressive over
the
top.
Okay, aggressive. Like you don't want to like baby us, but you mean aggressive as in like the way you treat a boy then how you treat a girl? Is that what you mean?
No, I mean like if you brought a boy home, I'm sitting at the table cleaning my gun.
Oh, okay.
Like
sweet Jesus.
Yeah. That's happened to people before.
Oh yeah.
And so
I can believe it, especially in Texas.
I mean, that's what happened with Nana. And, like, yeah, Papa was sitting at the table cleaning his shotgun when they brought a boy home. Well, and the boy came over to pick them up to take Nana on a date.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, please don't be that aggressive.
So, it's one of those things where... It's a balance. I don't know if it changes from boys to girls raising a boy or raising a girl because, again, I haven't experienced that.
Right.
So all I can speak from is being a father of young girls, young black girls. I haven't had any young white girls as children, and I haven't had any boys. So so I can't really speak on the other aspects of it. How does it differ? I don't know. I mean, I would imagine there's a tougher version of love that you would give a boy than it's a different kind of love that mm-hmm. you give a boy than you give a girl. And I mean, having girls versus having boys, it's kind of like the age-old thing. Girls typically cling to dad more so than they cling to mom, and boys typically cling to mom more so than they cling to dad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that probably irritates the heck out of your mom from time to time, but...
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like one thing...
But,
oh, mom's going to be mad. But one thing that I really enjoy doing, like, when we go to the store and we're shopping, like, doing Christmas shopping... It's so much easier with dads. I don't know if it's just me.
Well,
anybody
I mean,
else think that? Because when it's like we're in and out. But I remember when we were, every time I went to the store with my mom, we would always go to New York and Company, and we would be there for like 2 hours.
Well,
and there's nowhere to sit down.
So this is something you'll learn.
Don't kill them by the mannequins.
This is something you'll learn. Women shop differently than men.
Oh, that's very true.
When I go to the mall or the store or whatever, I know exactly what I'm going for. I don't go to browse. When I go
See,
to the mall, I know exactly what I'm
going
for. Some
women do, too. It's like, I think it's the smaller stores that we know. Like, when it comes to grocery shopping, we know exactly what we want. Obviously, you know, you can't. I mean, you can browse in the grocery store, but, like, you don't go to the grocery store to browse. Like, smaller stores, like, or maybe even... Like, it's like a Ross. You don't really go to Ross to browse. I mean, you can, but usually it's like, okay, I'm going to get this specific thing. Obviously, you know, Ross doesn't have I don't think they have a website.
No,
like
they don't.
Like an online store. So, you can
even
just go
when
in
I go to Ross, I know what I'm there for.
Right.
So, I'm in and out. If they don't got it, I'm gone.
Right.
I'm not looking, oh, well, this is a good deal. No.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
And we would always pass
when
by
I go to
New York
Ross,
Company.
If I go there, I'm like, I'm looking for a black button-up shirt. I go in, I look for the black shirt, I look for the black button-up shirt. If I don't see one in my size or in my style that I'm looking for, I'm out.
Right.
Deuces.
See, my mom will I mean, maybe that's just girls. We'll turn around and we'll see something for, you know, a cousin or if somebody's birthday's coming up.
If I go to the store.
So, you know, we'll see something for them or something in your size.
If I go to Foot Locker, I'm going for a specific shoe. I'm not going to look at shoes and maybe I like one. I've already looked the shoe up on my phone. I know exactly how much it costs. I know exactly what color. And so I'm going, I could walk up to the cashier and say, hey, do y'all have the XYZ in this size, in this color? If they say, yeah, sure, let me get it so you can try it on. Cool. If they say, no, we're out, I'm like, all right, bet. Peace.
Oh, man. Maybe that's, I don't know. I think that's probably one of the problems. Anyways, next question. That's really good, though. Sorry, Mom. Didn't mean to rat you out like that. All right. Didn't mean to rat you out like that, Mom. That's all. So, what is some advice you would give to another black father or either a new father or, like, somebody that's already a dad to girls and they need some advice?
Do your best.
That's it?
I mean, that's all you can do. That's all you can do. Like, this
idea. I'm like, oh, all right. Good luck. Bye.
No, this idea that there's.
Good luck. Sign off.
There's only one way to skin a cat. I don't buy into it. So do your best. Your daughter may be different than my daughter, or your son may be different than my daughter. So I can't tell you to raise them the way that I raised mine.
Yeah.
Because different kids require different things. And so do your best.
Well, that's one thing you can say, because I feel like the way you raised me or the way I was raised and the way Kennedy will be raised, you know, still, and is still being raised now, is two completely different ways.
Oh, yeah. By the time you get to that second, third, fourth kid, you parents are wore out.
Yep.
I mean, everybody complains about the difference between the first kid out the door and the last kid out the door. I was the first kid out the door for my dad. Whitney, the last. The way that we were raised, I mean, you would think that they were different parents.
Yeah.
But
that's good, though.
But each kid requires different. Like, Whitney requires different things than I require. So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, like when I was younger and I was experienced the difference in the raising, I was ticked off about it. Because
that you do with Kennedy and Mom, I'm like, man, I couldn't have got away with that.
Yeah.
Or there's some things that Kennedy says and I'm like, if I said that, I mean, it's not nothing disrespectful, but it's just, I think it's the tone in Kennedy's voice, my sister's voice, and I'm like, oh.
Well, Kennedy has a smart mouth.
Yeah.
Not, like, disrespectfully, but she's trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Because she loves to make people laugh.
Right. And then y'all end up laughing. I'm like, man, if I would have said that, I would have got slapped.
Not necessarily.
When
have you ever been slapped?
Oh.
You've been slapped?
Oh, yeah.
By who?
My mother.
Oh, okay. Because I've never slapped
you. You haven't hit me. I think, and maybe that's another thing. Why I'm probably cling more to you. Not saying that my mom will slap me, but, you know, the PTSD and the trauma of it all.
Don't try to make it like PTSD. Your mom's not abusive.
She's not. I'm not saying she is. My listeners will get it. Hey, everybody's maybe gotten popped in the mouth or, you know, they go a little.
And I'm pretty sure they earned it. I'm pretty sure they earned it.
I did. I probably did. I don't really remember most of it. I mean, I remember the feeling, but so I don't remember what it was for.
She smacked that thought out of your brain. Like, you lost some memory? That's a pretty hard hit.
I'm sorry, Mom. We apologize. Okay, let's move on before I get in trouble. For real. Anyways, my mom's not abusive, guys, just so you know. She's not abusive. I don't remember what I got in trouble for. Sometimes you just get popped in your mouth. I guess
you got hit so hard, you lost some memory, some short-term memory. That's aggressive.
It's all right. I'm better now. So what is the biggest lesson you've learned being a dad, and what is the biggest lesson you want us to learn from you?
Patience.
On both sides?
Patience.
I'm learning that a lot more now.
Patience.
with God.
And patience is difficult, especially for the younger generation, because you got to think about it. Y'all grew up with microwaves y'all's whole life. Y'all grew up with an instant gratification.
I'm like, wait, you didn't grow up with... I know what you meant, but also I was like, you grew up with a microwave your whole life.
No, we didn't have microwaves.
But wait, you didn't have microwaves?
We didn't use microwaves back in the 80s when I was
You're
born.
You're lying.
No, we didn't use microwaves. People cooked food. Like, people didn't buy all of these frozen dinners and the stuff that y'all have grown up with.
You're lying. Y'all didn't have microwaves? Or, like, y'all
we got microwaves, like, probably in the 90s.
Like, how everybody uses an air fryer now. Like, most people don't. I mean, most people have air fryers.
Granny Jones and Big Daddy's house, I remember when they got their microwave. My granny thought it was, like, this new invention.
She was like,
I could make a baked potato in 5 minutes. I could just put it in here. And I was just like, I mean, it's a microwave, granny. Like, this was in the 90s when she got that microwave.
What?
Yes. And she thought, like...
Go ahead, I'm sorry. I was like, did you mean actual microwaves or like we live in a microwave?
She used to warm up food in the oven.
That's the best way to do it.
Like reheating food. Mm-hmm. She used to reheat food in the oven.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, so y'all grew up in...
Now, we grew up with microwaves your whole life. Now, didn't you?
No, but I mean, even think about social media and instant gratification.
We've always had computers. I think my whole life I've had a computer.
I mean, Granny and Big Daddy were probably the first people that, like, I knew personally that had a computer, and so I had to benefit from that. So I always was kind of around. I was around computers. I had a Macintosh, like my grandfather bought a Macintosh way back when they first came out, and so I was able to experience that. But like, that's not the reality of everybody, and so. Y'all's generation has grown up with so much technology, so much instant gratification that a lot of y'all miss out on patience.
Right.
Like, because everything instant.
Right.
I want it now. I can get it right now. I can push a button and it's done. And so, patience. I want you to dream big and have as lofty a goal as you can possibly place upon yourself, but have the patience to see it through. You know what I mean? Because Rome wasn't built in a day. Something truly great usually takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you go off on in life to do, have the patience to be really good at it. It's not supposed to be easy, you know?
Right.
Whatever it is you're setting out to accomplish. Be great, but understand that work comes from that. So it's going to take a process for you to get to the point that you want to get at it. Like I said at the very beginning of this interview, I do graphic design. I went to college for finance and accounting. Learning to be as good as I am at graphic design and web design and all of these this creative job that I have,
mm-hmm.
It was a process.
Right.
If I was put in the same opportunities that I have today, back when I started that process, I would not be as good at it as I am at it today.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the patience and the diligence to move forward, to keep consuming and learning information. And that's another thing that I think is very important is have a problem-solving mindset, because problems are going to come up in life. And instead of dwelling in the problem, have a mindset of solving it.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll benefit you no matter what you're doing. If you have the mindset that I am a problem solver, if you're a lawyer, then you will do what you need to do to get the information to solve
right.
the problem of this case or this contract or whatever. And
right.
so these are just the things that I would tell somebody to to kind of put that inside, like have those things as things that you highlight.
Right.
Patience.
Well, so that was for something you wanted to learn from us. So what have you learned? I mean, something that we need to learn from you is patience. So what is one thing you've learned from us about patience?
Each child develops at their own pace. And so y'all help me to be more patient in regards to, because when you're talking to a 15-year-old and you're 30-something about a 15-year-old problem that seems simple to you because you're 30-something and you've already gone through all of your 15-year-old problems, you have to have the patience to try to meet them where they are mentally with that problem.
Yeah. I had a lot of problems like that in high school.
Because even as you're 21, it's just like with the whole, you know, apartment thing in the middle of COVID.
Yep.
It's like if I put myself back at 20, I can understand your angst to want to sign that lease and get that apartment. We're talking about your first official apartment,
right?
As a 20-year-old, you know, in college with your friends and all that. Oh, it sounds wonderful. It just was unfortunate that we were in the middle of a pandemic, unlike anything that we have all ever seen in our lifetimes. And it was difficult to predict how that pandemic would be several months later.
Right.
And so it's one of those things where
that's a story for another day, y'all. I'll tell that story later.
Where you're trying to allow your now adult child to make adult decisions. And, I mean, ultimately, you have to deal with the consequences of those decisions. And it's a learning process.
Right.
Because you don't really learn from winning. You learn from losing.
Yeah.
Because it's a direct correlation to, okay, because this didn't work out in my favor, I can dissect the things that I could do differently so that maybe if something like this comes around again, I'll be prepared for these shortcomings that I had or the bad decision that I made or whatever the case may be. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's the patience of connecting on your level. That's something that I get from y'all because it helps me to kind of, I guess, relate to where y'all are mentally. Because it's something like the older you get, the less stuff matter.
Ooh.
But at y'all's age, being as young as y'all, everything matters.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm not going to get to see my friend anymore. Oh, that's like the end of y'all's world.
Okay.
And no. But the thing is the older you get, no, it's not even just you. It's like I remember when I was in that same space, and now I can laugh at it because I'm like, if only you knew half of those people that you're so concerned about, you're probably like in 20 years, you probably won't even be talking to them. And it's not because you don't like them.
Right.
Or you have an issue with them or something. It's just life moves on. And so it's a lot of stock put into things in your age range and in your sister's age range that the older you get, the smaller it seems.
Mm.
But as a parent, you can't shuck it off because it really matters to you.
Right. It does. It does. But that's, y'all tune in to some more. So maybe if y'all want them back, let us know at wetalkradio.com because this interview was a lot longer than I expected, but I had fun, Dad. Did you have fun?
Wonderful time. Wonderful time. It's always good to sit down and chop it up with my eldest.
Oh, just sweet, so sweet. So thank you again, Mr. J, Dad. We love you. Give
love
him a round
too.
Of applause, everybody. Round of applause. I know he can't hear you, but your round of applause is greatly appreciated. So, Dad, plug all your social media and all of the new things you have coming up in the future.
So, like I said at the beginning of the interview, Blueprint Branding, BLVE, Print Branding. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook. You can go to my website, which is blueprint.com. That's BLVEprint.com. We're working on a lot of stuff for our launch in July.
All right.
If you see a graphic or a website with a teal blue thumbprint on it, then that means that we've touched it.
All right.
So I look forward to coming back on your show again and talking about something else.
Did you plug your social media?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, Blueprint Branding, Blueprint Branding, Blueprint Branding, BLVE, Print Branding.
And Facebook, right? Or did you have you created a Facebook yet?
No, I have Facebook as well.
All right, all right. Thank you again, Dad. Happy Father's Day. We are very appreciative to have you as a dad. Hopefully you enjoy your gifts. We got some good gifts. We got a shirt for you. I feel like you're going to laugh. It's not a funny shirt.
Well,
but it's not
last year I think y'all got me a shirt about farting, so.
Oh, yes. Oh, it was, it said best farter ever instead of best father. Get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very cute shirt. Mom made us get that for you.
Bet she did.
Mom made us get that for you. We were like, something else? But yeah. Thank you again so much for being on our show. Is there anything else you would like to say before we close out?
No, I mean, it's an honor being a father to you two girls. Y'all are a joy. And I thank God that y'all are who y'all are because y'all make me and your mom's life easier raising y'all.
Yep. Thanks. That's so sweet. But yeah, we are done with the show, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to Friday Night Hype with DB on We Talk Radio Network. Shout out us on WeTalkRadio.com. Let us know if you enjoyed the show. Let us know your favorite moments. Who was your favorite interviewer? Again, I said this interview took a long time. Hopefully, y'all are still tuning in. Thank y'all so much, and y'all have a blessed day. Peace. Hey, thank y'all so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for joining me on my first show. I'm going to pray us out real quick, and we're going to get out of here because y'all, it's 9 o'clock. All right. Lord, we thank you so much for an amazing day, God. Thank you for my show. Thank you for everything that you've done, Lord. Lord, let us have an amazing Father's Day. Thank you to all the fathers. Thank you for letting us have an amazing Juneteenth. Let everybody have a great weekend and be blessed and highly favored. Amen. I love y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. Tune in next week at 7 p.m. only on Fridays, only on We Talk Radio. Bye, y'all. Peace out.
W Mind Block Radio. Turn it up.
For sound.
your girl, your pal, your gal. Anyways, Destiny Brown, y'all may know me from a little show called The Ken and Rye Show. You know, I'm Destiny, the producer on there, and I've loved doing it for so many years. Me and the We Talk Radio team, we were talking, and they were like, Destiny, you need your own show. We named the show Friday Night Hype with DB, and I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about hot topics, what's going on in the world, what's going on in pop culture, what's going on, you know, in our personal lives, you know, maybe be, you know, spilling a little bit of tea. The tea runneth over. Relationships, you know, boys, gals, the whole bit, you know, college, jobs, finding a big girl job, having a hot girl summer or a holy girl summer, you know, whatever you want to do. It's more of a, you know, a fresh vibe, very mature vibe. You know, I just turned 21. Friday Night Hype with me, your girl DB, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join me. We're going to have a great time. We in this thing.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.